words. This is my dirt. Great granddaddy bought it for 100 acres. He just got married when he signed the papers. Him and his brothers framed that old farmhouse. Every fence post here we put in the ground, ran the barbed wire and pulled the plow. Every last hay bale we built. Yeah, I'd hate to be the first to sell. This is my dirt. This is my dirt. This is where my generations will pray for rain. They'll cover me in it when the good Lord calls my name. This is my dirt. These are my fields where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill. I built that barn with my two hands. Where I raised my babies, a piece of me. Now this ain't just a piece of land. The money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. You can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. This is my dirt.
Live and local, here for you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
Reporting Dakota Sports on KOKK, I'm Jeff Duffy. The fields are set for Class A and Class B state girls basketball tournaments. Next week, SODAC 16 games played across the state. James Valley Christian advanced to the state tournament. In Gettysburg, the Vikings took the lead early, held off some challenges from Lemon, and JVC wins it 61-50. For James Valley Christian, Kaylee Robinson.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Postseason basketball continued across the state last night in AA. Last night was SODAC 16 play-in games for the girls. Huron Tigers, with the number 12 seed, visited number 5 Pier. Tigers fell behind by 10 early, did get within 4 late in the first half, trailed by 7 at halftime, but Pier came out in a blitz, hit 3 3 point shots to begin the second half. Pretty much put the game safely away. The Governors went on to the state tournament berth as they defeated Huron 63-36. For Huron, Hilton Hines 12 points, Hampton Hines added 11. Huron girls finished their season at 7-14. As far as Double A went, it went chalk. The top-seeded home team won all eight of the games last night. Brandon Valley defeated Brookings 65-49. Harrisburg 59, Sioux Falls, Washington 38. O'Gorman topped Roosevelt 65-31. Stevens defeated Rapid City Central 56-39. Jefferson 52, Watertown 41. Mitchell 53, Yankton 35. Spearfish defeated Aberdeen 72-48. So here are the AA state girls basketball pairings for next Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Pentagon in Sioux Falls. Top seed O'Gorman plays number 8 seed Stevens to open up the tournament, followed by number 4 Jefferson, number 5 Pierre. 6 o'clock on Thursday night, 2 seed Mitchell plays number 7 Harrisburg, followed by 3 seed Brandon Valley and number 6 seed Spearfish. Boys basketball Class A, Class B regions wrapped up last night, each region putting two teams into the SODAC 16 next Thursday. At the Huron Arena last night, Region 2B saw DeSmit and Castlewood, the top two seeds, advance. DeSmit in the first game rolled to a 64-33 win over Dubrook. Tom Augenbaugh, 15 points. Caden Fass, 14 for DeSmit. And in the second game, Castlewood showed their inside power, and they rolled to a 62-46 win over Woolsey Wessington. Warbirds had two in double figures. Moshe Richmond, 13 points. Caleb Richmond, 11. Tate French added 10 rebounds. For the Warbirds, their season ends at 17-5. Region 5B, Wessington Springs advanced to next Tuesday with a 52-35 win over Corsica Stickney. Slow start by Springs, but they were able to open up the lead by halftime and went on to the win. Ryder Mahalik, Parker Graff, 14 points apiece. Colby Flowers added 10 for Springs. Two other 281 Conference teams advanced to the SODAC after picking up upset wins over top seeds in their regions last night. Region 6B, Highmore Herald slipped past top seed Fulton 46-45. And in Region 5A, Sanborn Central knocked off top seed Parkston 75-66. Jeff Boche, 33 points for the Blackhawks. Peyton Uger, 14. And Bryce Larson added 13. We'll get to those SODAC 16 matchups coming up. Girls state hockey got underway yesterday in Watertown. First round games, Mitchell defeated Rushmore 3-2. Aberdeen shut out Sioux Center 10-0. Pierre 6, Brookings 3, and Sioux Falls shut out Watertown 6-0. A look at the schedule for today. Only thing on our high school scene is a SODAC 16 boys matchups for trips to the AA tournament. Huron Tigers have a home game tonight with the number 6 seed. They will play 11 seed O'Gorman, 5:40 pregame and 6 o'clock with the tip-off tonight at the arena, and that game on Tiger 95. The rest of the matchups, number 16 seed Yankton's at top seed Mitchell, number 9 Stevens at number 8 Jefferson, number 15 Sturgis is at number 2 Harrisburg, 10 seed Lincoln visits 7 seed Watertown, number 13 Aberdeen visits number 4 Roosevelt, number 12 Pierre faces number 5 Washington, 14 Spearfish plays number 3 seed Brandon Valley. Those are the pairings. AA State Boys Basketball Tournament begins a week from this coming Thursday. And as I mentioned, the matchups are set for the Class A, Class B Boys SODAC 16 games, all to be played on Tuesday across the state. One game at the Huron Arena features number 4 seed Wessington Springs playing number 13 seed Waverly South Shore. Other area games, Class B, number 2 seed DeSmit plays number 15 Timberlake. That game will be in Miller. Highmore Herald is the number 16 seed. They'll play top-seeded White River in Fort Pierce, Stanley County High School. And in Class A, Sanborn Central Woonsocket at the number 16 seed. They will play top seed undefeated Sioux Falls Christian at West Central High School in Hartford. The rest of the matchups in Class B, 3-seed Castlewood plays number 14 Centerville in Madison. 5-seed Howard plays number 12-seed Phillip at Chamberlain. Number 6, Leola Frederick plays number 11 Potter County at Northwestern High School in Millette. 7-seed Faith plays number 10-seed Viberg Hurley in Fort Pierce, Stanley County. And number 8-seed Del Rapids St. Mary faces number 9 Gregory at the Corn Palace. Class A matchups besides Sanborn Central Woonsocket, Sioux Falls Christian. 2-seed Hamlin plays number 15 Hanson at Arlington. Number 3-seed Sioux Valley plays number 14 Lakota Tech at Chamberlain. Number 4 Pine Ridge, number 13 Cheyenne Eagle Butte at Wall. Number 5 Dakota Valley, number 12 McLaughlin at the Mitchell Corn Palace. Number 6 Hot Springs, number 11 Vermilion in Kadoka. Number 7 Rapid City Christian, number 10 Milbank at Pier. Number 8 Groton, number 9 Del Rapids in Watertown. And again, the fields will be set for all of the State Boys basketball tournaments tonight for AA and Tuesday for Class A and Class B. Busy morning for Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll talk with Huron Tiger coaches Tim Budenhagen and Cody Kaufman. Also, Matt Goth, head wrestling coach, cap off his season. And we'll visit with Krista Robinson from James Valley Christian School, the James Valley Christian girls in the State B tournament for a fourth time in school history. That is our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. First up, we talk with Tim Budenhagen, head coach of Huron Tiger Boys Basketball, SODAC 16 time. Huron hosting O'Gorman tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off, and we'll be on the air 5:40 pregame on Tiger 95. And, Coach, sum up a 12-8 regular season. I know you said all along we want to get up to 10 wins. We ended up getting two above that, getting a home game in the SODAC. So from that standpoint, that's one goal accomplished.
Yeah, it is. You know, I thought we played well throughout the year. Our backs were against the wall a couple times. We came out swinging and won some games that we needed to win. I thought the guys stuck together. They hung together. I thought defensively we continue to get better each and every game. And, you know, we find ourselves in a good spot at 12-8 and hosting O'Gorman tonight.
Now, the O'Gorman, when we were talking at this time last week, we were going over all the equations. O'Gorman was on the radar, but you felt that was kind of one of the second or third options, but it ended up being it. You try to do the math, but neither here nor there. Bottom line, it's O'Gorman. We played them a week and a half ago. Tight game. They had a chance to tie it at the end. Shot fell short. So we knew whoever the draw was, and whether it was home or away, it was going to be a tough game for us.
Yeah, you go through, you know, 6 through 13 or whatever. Every game is going to be a big game, and you're going to play a good team. And at this time, there are no bad teams because every team's improved throughout the year. Every team's perfected their offense and their defense, and now it's go time. So now it becomes energy instead of strategy. Now, can we bring the juice defensively? Can we keep them out of the lane? If they shoot it, can we keep them to a one and done? And then can we move the basketball and get easy shots at the other end?
And, you know, we saw Gorman, as I said, you know, they have some athleticism. They have some good shooters. They have that little quick guard, that sophomore guard off the bench that causes a lot of issues. They can actually throw a few different patterns at us.
Yeah, they can. You know, but the main thing is we got to keep them out of the paint. When they do their damage, they give you a fake and they rip to their pivot foot side and they want to get in the middle and then rise up above you. Tavreen. He loves to do that. Our guys have got to keep their feet stationary, but they love to fake one way and go the opposite. So we got to make sure, again, just keep them out of the paint, make every shot a tough shot, and then we got to get on the threes because they're capable of making a lot of threes.
And a lot of different guys are able to get those three looks to go down as well. And, you know, just a multifaceted offense, and, you know, they can attack from a lot of different directions.
Yeah, they can. You know, the one main thing is we got to keep them off the boards because I thought they killed us on the boards the last time we played. Number three got 12 or 14 points just on second shots alone. So we got to keep him off the boards. He's a big body at 6'1", physical down low. We should have a height advantage on the offense. And so we got to get the ball inside to Blake, give him some post touches so they collapse. And then the 3-point for us becomes a little bit easier.
And just overall, you know, like we've said all along, it's going to be a tough game wherever we draw. And O'Gorman comes in, you know, they got a little bitter taste in their mouth. They didn't make it to the state tournament last year either. The one intangible here, the one thing, I know it's cliche, but everybody starts 0-0 at this time of the year. The one intangible is we do have the home court. We need to use the arena tonight.
I think so, too. We got to use the juice and... again, we got to make sure every shot to begin with is a tough shot. Throw some things at them that might keep them off balance, keep them standing around, keep them guessing what we're in. I think that's going to be a key to the game as well, where they can't get comfortable on offense on the one things that we do. So we got a couple of things that we can try to keep them off balance, keep them standing around. Main thing is you got to make shots at this time of year. You know, can't be all one guy. It's got to be everybody, a collective effort tonight. I feel good about our guys. They've been a pleasure to coach. They work their tails off. They come ready to work. No matter the circumstance, whether we lost, whether we won, I think that even keel attitude stayed the same.
You know, in a game like this, we always say, you know, can he come out relaxed? Everybody knows there's a lot on a line. You're not going to hide that from anybody anymore, but then you kind of put that on your senior class. I know you have a lot of respect for the seniors. They've been great leaders all year, but now this is the game for the seniors.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've worked their whole career for this one moment in time, and like we said, when you run out there, just enjoy the moment. And when the ball goes up, it's just basketball. It's 32 minutes. You played that since your third, fourth grade. It's just a game. So enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. Stay in the present. Don't think about what's going to happen if we win or if we lose. Just play every play like it's your last, because it could be.
And I'll just wrap it up with this. The arena can be the sixth man. Last night in Pierre with the girls, we had a nice orange section there. They brought a student bus out, so the support was there with a nice crowd there in Pierre. We need to just carry that over tonight as well.
Yeah, hopefully we get a student bus as well, so that would be really nice. If we could get a student bus, that would be awesome. But I'm sure that the arena will be full, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot of juice in there tonight. And our guys, we greatly appreciate the community support from all the businesses around town to all the people that have supported us throughout the year. We gratefully appreciate you guys.
So here it is, one game season to go, and just have the boys be ready to go, and then just toss the ball up and let it go.
Yeah, that's the biggest fear of the coach, you know, if you guys are ready. We know that we put in the work. Now it's just, you know, they got to play, and they got to play free. They got to play relaxed. But how do you do that, you know, with everything that's on the line? So we got to try to get them loosened up this morning, and hopefully tonight we're ready to go.
Tim Budnagan, head coach of the Huron Tiger boys basketball team. Again, 6 o'clock tip-off, 5:40 with the pregame on Tiger 95. O'Gorman at Huron for a trip to the state tournament. We'll be back. Still to come, going to the state tournament is James Valley Christian Girls. Krista Robinson, their head coach, is coming up on Dakota Sports.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk more basketball with the head coach of the James Valley Christian Girls basketball team, Krista Robinson. The Vikings back in the State B tournament for the first time, I believe, in 14 years as they defeated Lemon on Thursday night in the Sodak 16. And coach, first off, congratulations. Great for the girls, great for the school, great for everybody.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, we're pretty excited, and it's our first time. You know, the only one of on our team that's been to a state tournament before is Coach Barcelo. She went her freshman year. And so just it's a whole new process for us now, all the new things leading up to it. But, you know, the girls have worked so hard this year. You know, summer workouts, our season, you know, they have worked so hard. This group is just a special group, and we're just so fortunate that they've received this reward for their hard work and get to experience the big show.
Yeah, and I thought the girls came out well. You know, right away, Lemon jumped off to that 5-0 lead probably a minute into the game. But, you know, sometimes you can panic when you're not used to that situation. But just took, I think, a couple of possessions. Your senior led the way, getting an old-fashioned three to get yourself started. And, you know, Rihanna kind of led the way there and, you know, doesn't usually score a lot of points. But, again, you look for that leadership, and, boy, she supplied it when, you know, things could have went a little bit differently.
Yeah, they started out on that 5-0 run, and I was kind of like, all right, girls, let's just settle in. You know, we've had some slow starts in the past, and we've been, you know, worked our way out of them. You know, Ray's put in some good minutes for us this year. This season, she has improved so much over last season, and when she got that old-fashioned three-point play, it kind of got us going a little bit, and the girls were excited. They kind of just settled in now, and, you know, us versus Lemon, we've had a lot of big games versus them, and I wasn't worried about how our girls were going to finish the game. You know, we've been battle-tested. We've had a lot of close games with a lot of good teams, and for some reason, this group just settles in. They never quite lose their heads. You just kind of got to remind them, like, hey, it's all right. Like, let's just keep battling. You know, and that's what they did. Ray got us started there, and everyone kind of followed, and then we got going and kind of got in our groove. And didn't really look back after that point. I was super proud of the effort from all the girls. You know, we only had like a 6-man rotation, but each girl came in and gave us a quality minute of what we needed at that time.
And when you look at that, you did have adversity. Alexa Gertz was not just under the weather. She was really under the weather. But, boy, she answered the bell, and we know she was not feeling well.
Yeah, we probably come to the conclusion she may have had influenza. She had missed practice Tuesday, you know, missed half a day on Wednesday, came to school so she could practice. And there's no doubt in my mind that Lex is going to play. She's a competitor through and through. She was a main part of our game plan, so we had a backup game plan. You know, we've been communicating with her all week, just, you know, how you doing? You know, make sure you get your rest. If we have to do this or whatever, we can. But she did. She stepped up big. She did not feel the best, but she came out, and, you know, we ran our triangle in two, so she was face guarding their best player all night. And held her to 7 points. And, you know, Lex is one of those kids that she's a hard-nosed kid. She's going to give you everything she got, no matter what's going on. And we were super proud of her effort, and hopefully now we can get her healthy before state.
You know, and just so many contributions. I look at Daryl Franzen, your girl off the bench. She popped a couple of shots early and missed badly. And then noticed third quarter, Lemon just decided they weren't going to guard her. They dared her to shoot, and it took her one or two possessions, but she decided, okay, I'm going to let it fly. She hit one, and I think one or two possessions later, she hit another, and that was part of the momentum there in the second half.
Yeah, Daryl, the last two games, has come in and hit some big shots for us. Like you said, she struggled a little bit, and I brought her over to the sideline there, and I said, Daryl, I said, what do we teach you? I said, we shoot that every time when we shoot the ball, it's going in. It's not we hope it's going in. I said, you go out there, and you're, every time you shoot, that ball's going in. She went back out and hit those two big shots for us. You know, it's nice that she can come in and provide us that little bit of momentum. And like you said, they started, you know, our post play inside. You know, Bea and Kaylee were doing a good job. They tried to start kind of concentrating on Lex a little bit more, too. So we kicked Bea to the outside and put Kaylee in, and they weren't really guarding, you know, Addison Barthelow and Daryl on the outside. So they were able to get some nice looks for us to keep that momentum going.
Again, talking with Krista Robinson, head coach, James Valley Christian Girls, headed to the BE tournament in Rapid City next week. One thing that impressed me most, you know, it stayed tight through the early part of the third quarter. Then you got that run started to give yourself a little distance. And I felt you just never let Lemon get back into the game. And I thought the entire game, you know, chalk it up to your defense. I didn't think Lemon ever looked completely comfortable.
You know, we had a solid game plan going in for all the film we watched, all the coaches that we talked to. We knew we had to slow down their number two and their number three. You know, their number three was their best shooter. Their number two was their best player. And, you know, everything that we talked and watched, you know, I came up with the conclusion that we had to slow them down if we wanted to take them out of their game. You know, we face guarded two and three. Rihanna Hood did a great job on three. You know, like I said before, Lex did a great job on two, and then Knight and Addie B and Kaylee did a great job inside just rotating around and moving the girls so they could never quite get positioned. You know, we gave up a couple looks just because we got some awkward positioning with some the players when we were face guarding versus the players that we weren't. But our defense, I think, just had them back on their heels the whole game. They really didn't know what to run. You know, they tried to run their zone offense. That didn't quite work. They tried to run their man offense. You know, and we teach a lot of defensive principles where they're trying to do back door cuts on us, but our girls that were face guarding were getting the steals, or our bottom girls would step in there and get it. You know, the other thing I thought we did really well to kind of not give them was second chances. They did have a couple tall girls, but I thought Kaylee and Addie Barthel did a great job boxing out. They weren't able to get those rebounds and put them back in for the second chances, so they never really had that opportunity to get the momentum going. You know, that was our goal, is we had to take their two scorers out. You know, that's what we talked about all year, is on the teams that we face, you know, who's their heartbeat? We got to take away their heartbeat. And, you know, our girls have really bought into that system, and they know. And this group, you know, that six, they've worked together so much, they know each other so well, that a lot of things that they do, they can do it without communicating. And I thought with the gym, we had an awesome crowd. It was so loud in there. And I don't know if the girls could have heard each other, because I know they couldn't hear me, that, you know, they just did it on instinct, and, you know, we did not allow them to get into a comfortable flow of the game, and I think that was a huge deal-breaker for them.
So now we look ahead. It's the fourth time James Valley girls have been to the state tournament. There was one in the 70s, one in the early 90s, and then Samantha Kleinsaucer year there back in 2010, and now this year. So first things first. You kind of forget when you look at the lineup, two freshmen, two juniors, and a senior start. Franson off the bench as a sophomore. You're such a young team yet.
You know, we are young, but I think even though we have young players, we have a lot of basketball experience. You know, Kaylee and Lex have been playing since eighth graders. Addie B and Knight and Daryl, you know, got experience last year. You know, we do have some young players, but there's a lot of experience with those young players and a lot of passion for the game of basketball. There's a lot of basketball knowledge and a lot of minutes that they've played. You know, our seniors, they've been with the program. I've had them since fifth, sixth grade. They know what I want. They're great leaders. You know, Maggie and JC do a great job in practice leading us. You know, Ray has improved her game so much. Having this group and having them for such a long time, we know each other so well. They know what we expect. They know our lingo. They know what we want done. You know, we've had so many games experiences with this group that it's just, they play so well together. And I think team chemistry is such an important role. Our bench does such a tremendous job of, you know, pushing them in practice, bringing that fire during game. It's just, we are young, but yet sometimes I feel like we're veterans because we've been together so long, that we know each other so well, and we've been battle-tested, that we have the experience we need for end-of-game situations. So going into this state tournament, it is first time for all of us. It's the first time in learning experience for all of us. But I think that the trust that we have among each other is going to be a huge benefit for us.
And so the state tournament, you do wind up being the number 8 seed. You were the only lower seeded team to win on Thursday night, but now it's a familiar opponent in Arlington from the same region. You played them back in February, I believe it was, a 2-point win at Arlington. So first things first, you look like this should be a competitive game.
Yeah, you know, you look at the state tournament this year, and I think it's going to be a great state tournament. There is a lot of competitive teams. When you have, like you said, we're the only upset. If you have the top 7 teams there, and it's going to be, they're all good basketball teams. I think you're going to see some great games. You know, with us facing Arlington, you know, every year we have the number 1 team in the region. You know, to get out of regions, we put ourselves in a better position being the 2 seed, so we didn't have to play them. But going in, you know, they're the number 1 seed, we're the number 8 seed. I told the girls, you know, we have no target on our back. We can go in and play our game. Teams are going to be more scared of us than we're scared of them at this point. You know, we're going to game prep them. You know, this, I'm not afraid of this matchup with Arlington. I think it's going to be another great game. You know, some of our strengths is their weaknesses. Some of their strengths are our weaknesses, so we kind of offset each other. And, you know, that 2-point game, that could have went either way. There's, you know, we had a couple chances to win it at the end. We just couldn't put it in the hoop. But I think it's going to be a great game for us. And I think our girls will be prepared. And I think it'll actually help us. It's a team that we're familiar with. So the girls, you know, they're going to have a little nerves playing at the Monument. It's a new place. You know, being at State B's is a whole new bear to have on your back. But, you know, having that familiarity, I think it's going to help us a little bit and be a benefit.
And just wrap it up with this, you know, everybody, when they first put the basketballs out to begin the season, you know what, we want to make the state tournament. There's one thing to say that in December and to do it in March. Your girls have done it.
You know, this summer, we didn't take it easy on them. We pushed them. We really pushed this group, and we continually told them, you know, what happens in March is determined in the summer. And, you know, we told them, you know, we believe in you. We can get there. We have the tools. We have the group. We have the skill set. We have everything we need if we put it together. So we, all summer we preached that to them. You know, when we came to start practice in November, we knew we had a group that we could do it, and I just told them one game at a time. One game at a time. We don't look ahead. We don't look at our seating. We don't look at our PowerPoints. I said, I am all right flying under the radar. I don't think my dad was quite okay with that, but towards the end of the season, he started to believe me why it was okay to be under the radar. And our girls did it. I told them, I said, you need to be peaking at the end of February. We don't need to peak early. We don't need to peak in the middle. I said, our goals by taking it one game at a time, one step at a time, and we really stress, you know, we got to trust God's journey on this one. You know, he has our plan. We can't change it. So we just got to trust it. We got to do our job day in and day out, and we can be there. And so it's so nice that we push these girls hard every single day, and they respond, and they come with good attitudes, and they work hard. So for them to reap the rewards of what they put in the summer and during the season is just so amazing. They have worked so hard for us. They give us everything they got, and we could not be more proud of them.
Krista Robinson, head coach, James Valley Christian girls basketball, fourth time in school history that James Valley Christian will be at the girls Class B state basketball tournament. They will play Arlington at 1 o'clock Central Time. We will have the James Valley Christian games on the air. We're still working on specifics. We'll have that all ironed out by Monday, but we will be out in Rapid City with James Valley Christian girls next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the Class B state basketball tournament. We'll stay on the subject of girls basketball here on Tiger. Coach Cody Kaufman is next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we visit with Cody Kaufman, head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball. Girls saw their season come to an end last night out in Pierre, picking up the Sodak win, 63-36. And Cody, as you look over the grand scheme of the game, you know, defensively, we kept ourselves in it for a while, had a couple of spurts offensively, but, you know, as Pierce started to build the lead in the second half. We let a few frustrations get in there, too. Some valid. Bottom line is, you know, Pierre, a good ball club, and they showed it last night.
Yeah, you know, I don't exactly remember what the final numbers were, but, you know, when you look at Pierce scoring, I know that Barry, I know that Dupree, I knew that Trulinger, all were over double digits, and I think they are all over 15 points, you know. So we know that they're a three-headed monster. I thought, you know, we tried to let, you know, their role players beat us a little bit, and I don't think they made many shots, but their big three, you know, when the lights got the brightest, their big three showed up and probably played one of their best games of the year, you know, from what I've seen on film. So, you know, you're right. We hung in there for a while, come out of the third quarter, you know, they hit a couple big threes right away and got that crowd in it and kind of took us out of it. And I thought you're exactly right. You know, we let us use a timeout with a minute into the third quarter, and that was my message, is we can't get frustrated. You know, we had a few calls go against us, picked up a third foul, you know, a couple of them picked up a third foul off of frustration, you know, and then it just kind of handcuffed us and took us out of our rhythm, you know. And but credit to Pierre. I mean, you're absolutely right. They're a very good basketball team. And I think that, you know, like I said, I think that if they play that way, you know, they have a chance to make a little noise come next week at Sioux Falls.
You know, and it started off well. Hilton Hines popped a three to open up the game, but then a 13-0 run by Pierre, and that was kind of the first point for us, because I thought if there's a run like that early, that might be trouble. Give the girls credit. They fought back, got the lead down to four a couple of times in the second quarter, trailed by seven at the half, and for that 13-0 run early, you had to feel good just down seven at halftime.
Yeah, you know, and we, you know, and I think it actually got cut to as little as four, I believe. You know, so late in the second quarter, you know, so, yeah, you know, we kind of started out the same way we did against Brandon Valley, right? Couldn't make shots, you know, and we just hung around and, you know, made it, we, you know, started chipping away a little bit and getting some stops. And that's again, the credit to these girls all year long is we haven't just, you know, quit. There's never been a quit, especially in the first quarter. You know, we knew that there's a lot of game left, even though, you know, the odds were stacked against us type of thing. We knew that we just had to chip away and keep it close, and that's what they did in the first half.
You know, and a little bit self-inflicted, too, there. You felt good where you were at halftime, and yet we were 2 of 8, if I remember right, from the free throw line in the first half. Obviously, those 6 points would have made a big difference as well, but the second half, the Dupree girl took off. You know, you hear so much about Terwilliger and Barry, who are going to play college ball next year. Dupree, only a junior, she really was the one who got it going for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, first off, we'll start with the free throws, you know, where we struggled late shooting the ball, you know, from the free throw line. You know, I don't know if it was fatigue or just, you know, kind of got in our heads a little bit type of thing. You know, any of them could be true. You know, for anybody that wants to ask, yes, we work on free throws at practice. We shoot a lot of pressure free throws where if you miss, you run. In fact, we did it all week long, and I think on Thursday when we did it, I think we ran one down and back out of 8 girls shooting free throws. So, you know, they made their free throws in practice. It just obviously gets, you know, difference and heavy crowd, you know, screaming at you and distracting you and stuff. So, that's part of the game. And, you know, we just didn't capitalize on them. You know, and then when you talk about Trillinger and Price, or excuse me, Barry going to play college basketball. I mean, when you talk to anybody in the state, you know that Dupree is, you know, the head of that snake. You know that she's the motor. She makes everything go. Just because, I mean, she's a very good scorer, and you talked about, you know, her hitting those couple threes after halftime. But when you watch her defense, I mean, I know she had 3 fouls, but that's because she was being so aggressive that they called her for some fouls. But, I mean, you look at the amount of steals she had, you know, just the way she affects the game on how quick she is. she's a very good basketball player, and I'll guarantee you, come next year, we're talking about her being a college basketball player as well.
So in the grand scheme of things, you know, you had to like the atmosphere. You mentioned that. Of course, Pure, probably the smallest gym we play in anyway, but a good atmosphere. And the orange side was filled up. The students brought a bus over, so we had a nice student section there as well. And, again, from that standpoint, you had to love the atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I say it all the time. I think that Huron has the best fans in the state. They're passionate. You know, they follow their sports. They go on the road, and you know, we found out who we were playing. Saturday night, you know, Sunday morning, basically. A couple of our basketball girls or our basketball team went to Mr. Radke and talked to him about getting a student bus, fan bus for the game. They had to raise enough money to pay for it. They went out and found sponsors, and I can't tell you exactly who all the sponsors were yet, but I know that our girls and myself and the rest of the staff are very grateful for Mr. Radke allowing them to do that, but also for the sponsors that we got, you know, that donated the money to get our bus there. And then, you know, on a Friday night, you know, those 30, 40 kids that got on that bus, you know, they could have found anything better to do, and they chose to get on a bus and drive out to Pierce, South Dakota, and cheer on our girls. So, again, more or less, just extremely grateful for everybody that, you know, pitched in and helped with that. And, you know, again, it just solidifies how much I think of Huron as a community and our fan base.
And just wrap it up with this, talking to Cody Kaufman, head girls basketball coach for the Huron Tigers. Season ends at 7-14. Nobody's going to let that define them here as we move on down the road. I guess the one finality of the whole thing is six seniors who have been with the program. Five of the six been here all along. The other one was in Rapid City before she came here. So everybody gave 4 years of high school basketball. That's where the finality is here, those six girls that played their last game in the black and orange last night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, those six seniors, Kiki didn't play last year but came out again this year. You know, those girls have been with me for 2 years, you know, and the longer you're with kids, you know, the more of a connection and, you know, a more of a relationship you gain with those kids. So you just see them grow so much, and I've seen these six seniors grow so much from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, but also from, you know, from when I took over, you know, 2 years ago to now, like, just not even as basketball players, but just as kids and as people in general. And you know, we've spoke on it all year long, the adversity that these guys have been through, you know, and the whole team has been through. But these six seniors have, you know, they're the leaders. They're the ones that have gotten us through it. You know, and that speaks volumes to the type of, you know, the type of kids they are. I told them in the locker room before the game, should win or lose, said it's only a basketball game, and I couldn't be more proud of you no matter what the outcome of the basketball game is, just because of what we've been through as a group all year long, that most teams can't even fathom, and we've been through it, and every, you know, for 21 games, they found the strength and the courage to put on that jersey and go out and play the game, and play it together and do it the right way. So, you know, for a program that struggles with numbers, losing six seniors does not sound good. You know, I mean, you have 24 kids, eighth grade through senior, and you lose six of them. You know, now you're back down to 18 kids. You know, with whatever, you know, that eighth grade class you can provide. So, obviously a big class for Huron is six kids, so they're going to be greatly missed from that standpoint as well. And then, you know, you graduate a little bit of everything, right? You graduate kids like Hampton, who have played 4 years and scored 1,000 points. And, you know, you graduate, you know, like Kiki and Jaylee, who barely played, you know, but never said a peep about it, you know, just showed up every day and, you know, gave us, you know, played roles on the scout teams and made things tough for everybody that played in the varsity. So there's a big change or whatever you want to call it from top to bottom of the group, but all in all, a great group, and they again, they stuck together and they battled all year.
Cody Kaufman, head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball. Tiger season comes to an end last night in the Soadac 16, 63-36 loss to Pierre. Tigers finish out the season at 7-14. One last time out, we'll recap here on Tiger Boys Wrestling on Dakota Sports KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're talking with Huron Tiger head wrestling coach Matt Goff, kind of wrapping up that Tiger season that ended in Sioux Falls last weekend. Came home with the state championship, second in 3 years for Moses Gross, and a total of, I believe, what, six wrestlers, maybe seven, making it to the state. And coach, just your overview, we'll get to Moses coming up, but your overview, would have been nice to get a couple of wins with some of those other guys. Unfortunately, just Brian Ramirez picked up an opening round win, and then after that, it was just a bit of a struggle to go, and the draws weren't great, but the bottom line is you have to wrestle who they tell you to.
Yeah, Moses wrestled a pretty good tournament. Other than that, Brian picked up a win in the first round, and he lost to a kid that he was 1-1 with in the blood round to place. So he was in a spot to place, but just fell a little short. Wrestled hard all season, but didn't quite make it. Other seniors that were wrestling in the state tournament, Ladoso, he wrestled pretty well. One of those, he had a tough seed kid first round, and then he had a kid that placed at the state tournament last year in the second round, so he had a tough draw. Aiden Zavetsky, another senior, had the fifth seed first round, and the fourth seed got upset first round, so we had him second round, so he had a pretty tough draw as well. Also at the state tournament, Lucas Shaparo, he went 0-2, but wrestled pretty well, got some good experience. Same with TJ Lean, got some good, much-needed experience for him as well.
And Moses Gross, second time in 3 years, he wins a state title, and you know, so close to making it 3 years in a row, but got upended by the Omi kid last year against with Brandon Valley. Boy, it looked like this year he wasn't leaving anything to chance. I believe it was three pins on the way to the championship, and the championship did go the full 6 minutes, but he got up with the five-point move right away at the start of the match and never seemed to be seriously threatened.
Yeah, Moses wrestled a good tournament. First round, he was able to pick up a quick pin, same with second round, and then in the semifinal, he got a pin early on, too. In the finals, he was able to put the kid on his back in a cradle, his go-to move, basically how he got himself into the finals, and then kid was able to fight off, and he was wrestling a pretty talented Sturgis kid who was learning as the match went on, so he was getting harder and harder to score points as it went on. Moses just wrestled smart the rest of the match and stayed out of trouble and won pretty easily.
You know, and that's the thing. The kid from Sturgis, give him credit where credit's due. He only had one loss on the season.
Yep, he was he's a kid that moved in from Illinois last year into Sturgis, and he's had a pretty good season here in South Dakota. So he was kind of on our radar as somebody who could be tough for Moses to wrestle. And like you said, he only had one loss on the year, and most of his wins were by pin. So we knew he was dangerous on top. So when the kid chose top in the third, Moses just knew he had to get out right away and protect himself.
You know, and with Moses, as you look back at the season, you know, the one loss came to the kid from Cattanoo in the B championship. And I know you said you just felt like Moses wasn't quite himself at the start of that match up in Aberdeen, and probably learned a valuable lesson, because, as I said, it just seemed like during the state tournament last weekend, he left nothing to chance. He took control right away.
Yep, after that loss he took early in the year to the Canton kid, we just talked about every match you got to go out there, be ready to go, and look for to get to your offense right away. Don't let them dictate the pace of the match and let them come after you. Go after them, get to your shots, get to your offense, and put points on the board early.
So with that, we're going to run down your list of seniors here, as just kind of wrote them down here quick. Just make a few comments about them. Most of these kids are names you recognize. Had one kid that wasn't able to wrestle for the most part this year, which is unfortunate when you're a senior, but let's go top of the list here with Da Mu.
Wrestled for quite a few years. He was a three-year starter for us. Wrestled pretty tough. Could have been down to another weight class to really help him, but he was up at 190 for the team, and wrestled pretty well toward the end of the year. Was one match away from qualifying for state. A really good kid. He'll be somebody to watch in tennis in this spring, so exciting to see how he does there.
Then the next on the list, and every team, I don't care what the sport is, every team needs a Chumley on the team. Everybody needs a Brian Ramirez.
Yeah, Brian's a good kid. He always has a pretty positive attitude. Lots of kids look up to him. He's a bright person. Everybody looks up to him, comes around him. He's always willing to talk to people. Sometimes to a detriment, he's talking to his opponents before he's wrestling, and we're like, we got to get ready to wrestle. He's just such a nice kid. He was a three-time state qualifier, one-time state placer. Fell a little short this year, but like I said, he's a great human, and big things to come from him.
And next on the list, we have Sir Wah.
Sir has been in and out of lineup for varsity lineup for 3 years. He wrestled for at least four. I'm not sure if he started in middle school or as a freshman. Wrestled really well at the end of the year. I think if we had a couple more weeks, he could have been at the state tournament. Last year, he wrestled. He started wrestling at like 170, and he was wrestling heavyweight this year. So he's just learning how to wrestle at the heavyweight weight class, and he's getting pretty good at throwing and headlocking people. So I think if we had a couple more weeks with him, we could have got him to the state tournament.
Then you mentioned Lado so early, did wrestle in the state tournament.
Yeah, but Lado, he's wrestled pretty hard. He came out as a freshman, and this summer he put in a lot of time at open mats and in the gym trying to get a little bit better at wrestling. He's a good tennis player as well. He's pretty athletic. He's one of those kids that could put you from your feet to your back. He's very dangerous. So it's exciting to watch him wrestle and grow as a person.
The next on the list, Zane Winson. That's kind of the heartbreak here. Always been a JV guy, always been with you, then was hoping to get that varsity spot here. But early on, I believe you set out the Rapid City invite. He was injured, and that took him out for the rest of the year.
Yep, Zane had wrestled for the last couple of years with us. Really was just starting to hit his stride out at Rapid. He got returned on his shoulder, and he hurt his shoulder, and tried to come back around Christmas, and just had a lot of pain in his shoulder still. So he hung out with us for the rest of the year, came to the tournaments, cheered on the guys. Good kid. Excited to see what he can do in the future.
Then our last senior I have on the list here, Aiden Zaveski, our top boys golfer last fall too, multi-sport athlete.
Yep, so Aiden's pretty good at golf. Spent a lot of time at wrestling camps with us the last 3 or 4 years. He always came to the team camp. Spent some time at Open Mat this summer, helped him get himself into the state tournament. But he fell just a little short of his goals. He wanted to place, but wrestled really well toward the end of the year. And like I said, he had a tough draw where a kid got upset first round and really put him in a hard spot.
And so you wrap that up every year. You know it's coming, but it's always tough to see those seniors leave. This year has a good, solid nucleus. I believe I counted seven. I said six earlier, but seven. And, you know, those guys will be missed. They put a lot of time on the mat for the Huron Tigers.
Yeah, those guys were my biggest class I've had so far. So they're exciting to help our numbers grow as a team. And they really worked hard all 4 years that I had them. And I'm excited to see what they can do in the future. And then we have another big group of guys as juniors ready to step up and take over the leadership role that those guys have left open.
You know, just going to bring that up to kind of wrap things up. You look at this year's juniors, next year's seniors, you know, there's going to be a lot of kids that can obviously set the tone, but there's two guys that just stick out to me. Obviously, Moses Gross, because he's just a wrestling junkie. I don't think there's anything he doesn't know about the sport. TJ Lean, just a natural leader as well. You're in good hands there moving ahead.
Yeah, we have we're returning two juniors that are the seniors that are state qualifiers, so like you said, Moses and TJ, and then we also have a good group of guys that have wrestled hard throughout the last 3 years, and hopefully they can step into those leadership roles like Aiden and Law did this year and help us pick up some more dual wins in the future.
So as you look ahead, we always say no matter what the sport, you know, just taking the fact wrestling's a winter sport, you don't win a state title, you're not a place winner just wrestling from January or from December through the end of February. It's summer. It's, you know, you have to put in the time in the off season.
Yep. So we're looking at going down to the Nebraska team camp again this year, and then we got a couple of tournaments that we're looking at sending some guys to, some of our younger guys, to a freshman-sophomore dual tournament in Iowa, and hopefully we'll get these guys some mat time throughout the off season and in the summer and help them improve throughout the year so we can help us close the gap on some of the other ESD schools.
Matt Goth, head coach here on Tiger Wrestling. Tigers completed their season last weekend, state tournament in Sioux Falls. Moses Gross, the 150-pound champion. Coming up later today over on Tiger 95, Sodak 16 matchup for Huron Tiger boys basketball, hosting O'Gorman at the arena, 5:40 pregame and 6 o'clock with the tip-off. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment is next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
By popular request and listener demand, we again offer our Road Warrior Hotel Survival Guide edition of America's Top 5 Countdown. So here's the dealio. I'm a traveling man, and although I've had the good fortune to travel abroad and stay at some world-class hotels from Austria to China, I've also been stuck at the Dew Drop-In Hotel in Mud Lick, Kentucky, and the Empty Arms Motel in Dupree, South Dakota. You know it's bad when the floor in front of the commode is so rotten that you just, you know, pee in the sink or outside by the dumpster. Fortunately, most of these old relics have been dozed over unless you get stuck in Cheyenne, Wyoming during frontier days and run out of options. It's happened. So, from a traveling man, here's a few tips to keep you from getting stuck beneath the high school gymnastics team on floor number 2 and you're trying to sleep below on floor number 1. So, rule number 1, if you know you're staying in a hotel during tournament time or a big rodeo where everyone's partying,